Yes, people, welcome back to Chima Chats Foot. Who would have thought this could happen, right? Who would have predicted this? Liverpool finished third in the Premier League. A monumentous achievement. They beat Roy Hodgson's Crystal Palace side in what is both his return to Anfield and his final swan song in management. I mean, how impressed, how can't you be impressed by something like that? Here is a team that lost everything. I mean, you want to talk about a dry spell. Like I said, we lost six matches in a row at home, and I believe we scored one goal in each of them. You want to talk about an absolute miracle is what this feels like. But you know what? I think that this goes to show that the mentality of Liverpool isn't something that's up for debate. This team is absolutely elite. And I just think that they got a chance to show everyone in Europe and the world at large that they are up for the fight and they're not going to have another season like this one. You know, a quick note on the one and only Gini Wijnaldum. You know, it was great to see him captain the side for what is likely to be the final time. I thought the fans gave him a very, very nice hand. The fans also, quickly, a second on Roy Hodgson. The fans gave Roy Hodgson a very generous round of applause, especially considering the fact that he brought Paul Konchesky, and it was of that dark, dark era. If you're old enough, Liverpool fan, you definitely remember that. A very, very classy round of applause for him as he approached. Excuse me, that's an alert. Always on it. A very, very classy round of applause for him. But I want to thank Gini Wijnaldum for all of the great things that he brought to the club. I mean, I think a player like him, they always say you'll appreciate him when they're gone. And I think that is the case here. Gini Wijnaldum is somebody who might not have given you 30-yard screamers, right, like you might have wanted. But he's always someone who was dependable for Jurgen Klopp. He's always someone who just made sure that he never, ever was injured. Almost, I can't remember the last time he was injured. He's always fit. He's always protecting the ball. Gini Wijnaldum doesn't lose the ball. He brings that athleticism. He brings that dynamism. And at times, I will admit, of course, I have said, hey, Gini, hit the ball forward. I'm a little frustrated. Let's keep it moving. But you know, if Jurgen Klopp thinks he's nothing less than one of his most important players, you know, he wouldn't pick him so many times, so many big games. If Jurgen Klopp could play Wijnaldum, he played every single big game, if you think about it. I mean, you know, we don't win Barcelona. That sixth European Cup Champions League, we absolutely do not have it without Gini Wijnaldum. Remember, he didn't start that game. So here he comes off the bench for an injured Rabo, I believe, and he absolutely changes everything for us, you know, and that's something that you really just can't forget, and you really have to give him his props, and you really just have to appreciate the player and the man, Gini Wijnaldum. So salute to him. It was obviously he got a guard of honor with some executives at the club, and just was appreciated. So that of course, it warmed my heart. And the fans gave him the Gini Wijnaldum song, which is just stuck in my head now. And hopefully it spreads around the world. I hope it's stuck in some of yours, because a great servant to the club and just a cornerstone to a lot of these successful teams. I have it in my notes that we have to talk about the kit. So I felt like the kit, when I saw the orange, I didn't love it, as was the reaction of a lot of people online, apparently. But even more people that I respect, I believe it was a gentleman on Redman TV, he goes, you know, what do you think about the new kit? And he says, well, I'm not going to judge it until we see it, because what happens is we see some pictures and then a bunch of people say that they hate it, and then they see it on the players, and then they actually find out that they love it. And I believe that that's similar to what we are in for as well. Full transparency, I'm an absolute fan of the New Balance kit. I love all of the New Balance accessories. I love the black and gold New Balance jacket that Jurgen wore at times 2 years ago during the final season on the road to the championship. That pinstriped kit that they made is incredible. you know. Even their very first 2017-18 kit was also really, really incredible. Or was it the 16-17 kit? All of those were really nice. I thought that they played with the shade of red. At times it was a lighter red. I'm preferable to a darker red, which I believe that this kit gives you a little bit. But all in all, I thought that that kit looked spectacular. I think that, again, like our friend on Redmen TV said, this kit is going to look so much better and people are all going to eat their words. And I'm seeing a lot of that. And I was probably one of the people who didn't love it. But seeing that new kit on, I thought it looks really smart, really classy. And as somebody who really thought that this year's kit was fairly overrated in every sense, I thought that Nike did well with that. We're going to go ahead and move on to the three now. I had an entire pod, but a lot of it deleted just due to some software issues. But never fear, Chima Chat's foot has returned. That's for the people, all right? This podcast is for the people. So that's who we're giving it to. I want to do a quick stop and thank everybody for listening. You know, this is something organic. This is something that I do because I really, really care about football. But more importantly, I care about Liverpool Football Club, who has locked up third place in the Premier League. If you have just skipped ahead to this part of the pod and just joined us now, we're going to go ahead and go into the three parts of the team, starting with the midfield. Wijnaldum had a Wijnaldum game, a lot of great pieces, knitted things together, you know, was someone who absolutely had no problem being the little engine, you know, as he always is. It was just great to see him buzz around and break up play on occasion and be the outlet. You know, a very, very fitting final game to sign off. I thought early in the game, Fabinho, who's normally the lighthouse, the person you always can find and, you know that he's going to get you out of trouble, I felt like he was a bit shaky, you know, uncharacteristically. I felt like that Palace midfield within the combination of IU and Zaha up front, you know, they're not always the easiest customers to handle. Zaha is one of the most tricky players, and IU is not the fastest player, but he is a very, very clever player and has a high football intelligence level. So I foresaw them giving us some trouble, and they did that in the early ends with Townsend on the wings as we saw him break down on goal one-on-one. And I thought Alisson's positioning, and I'll get to him later, but I thought his positioning was fantastic. But anyways, I felt like Fabinho had a bit more trouble than we've seen him. He grew into the game and kind of settled into it like he should, but not the best outing, just an average okay performance, but he finished stronger. So that's the silver lining, I take it. Thiago was excellent. I mean, how he moves with the ball, the respect that he demands, his ability to use his body shape to receive the ball in the half turn and one touch pass it. He's always down for a 1-2, but an underrated facet to his game, of which he had to adapt because the common knock on him early was he gets so many yellow cards, which he did. He's been tackling and doing a lot more defensive work and pressing from the front, and he's a brilliant footballer. We got a brilliant footballer, and the more people see him, the more people appreciate him. So I'm really, really happy that he was able to really just boss this game. As a defense, Nat and Reese, I thought they played well. There was a couple of times where Zaha was faced up with Nat, and I thought that he dealt with him fairly well. IU, Townsend, you know, they are players who can score on you. Luckily, Benteke, you know, I hope he's well, obviously, but luckily for us, he was not able to play and provide that just threat to one-on-one challenge Nat in the air. So he was able to win a lot of those, as is his custom. Had the, you know, he's been rocking the headband recently, a la Martin Skrtel. And that's just a funny image. And I already think he's better than Martin Skrtel, for being honest, even though Skrtel was decent at times. Anyways, we're moving on to Reese Williams. Fairly similar. I'll rate them as a pair. They didn't get dragged around too much. They were able to keep most things in front of them and clean up most, you know, most things that came at them. And I thought that there were a couple of one-on-one situations where both of them did pretty well. I mean, Trent Alexander-Arnold, I mean, if he doesn't go to England's Euro squad, I might even boycott watching the Euros. This gentleman is that good. But it really comes down to Gareth Southgate not knowing what he's doing, right? Let's be honest. This is the most talented English squad that we've seen in years. Foden, Grealish, Mount, You know what I mean? Those are all players. James Madison. These are all players who have proven quality at various levels. And I mean, some of those players I just named can be Champions League winners by the end of this week. So there's plenty of talent, but you not picking someone like Trent Alexander-Arnold in the right back position or in the midfield, wherever you want to try and play him. Let, you know, some people say his future's in the midfield. Excellent again today. Crossfield ball, 60 yards, finding Andy Robertson on the wing. It's just amazing how much his form has picked up ever since a certain someone said he could be in a certain team. You know, that's how we'll call it. But a great game from him. Go to Robbo, same thing. You know, tigerish up and down the left, as he always is. A lot of intricate work down the left-hand side with Sadio Mane tucking into midfield. That usual deal that he gives us. So I thought he did well with that today. We'll go ahead and move up to the forwards. I thought Firmino was decent. A couple of times he linked up the play really, really smartly and was able to provide that classic number 10 link as he always does. But not too much incision or forward play from him, but a decent game. Sadio gets the two goals. The first one is a bit scruffy. The second one's a bit scruffy, but that gives him 15 goals and I believe 7 assists in all competitions now in his worst ever season, as people have been kind of touting all over and over again. I told you football Twitter is a just toxic, terrible place. We'll finally go ahead and go over to Mo. I mean, Mo, unfortunately, he lost the golden boot today, which would have been his third golden boot, which would have been an amazing achievement. He stays on 22 league goals as Harry Kane wins it with 23 league goals. But he tried. How many times did we see him cut inside and try and hit that same shot and just miss it by little bits each time? But he's not able to score. He does play well generally. Him and Sadio link up well. And, you know, at the end of the day, it was all about the win here. Those are just the icing on the cake. Alisson Becker, great job. Clean sheet to end the season. I thought he deserved it. As I said, in the first half, when Townsend's bearing down on goal off of a mistake, man, if you watch Alisson's positioning, he just gives Townsend the most goal to aim at, right? And I say that because Townsend, he stays big until the last minute and he does it excellently. But all in all, great team performance. I have a couple of notes. As I said, the new kit is growing on me. It was awesome to hear the crowd again, Anfield. That was really, really awesome. I thought that it was great to see Sadio Mane smile again and groove. And how good was Thiago? I mean, this guy is getting better and better each game. And shout out to Tottenham for not being able to beat Leicester to kind of kick Chelsea out of the top four. The pettiness in me would have me say that. But the truth of the matter is Liverpool are in an incredible position to finish third. I mean, it's funny because Manchester United conceded more goals than we did this year. You know what I mean? When, as I said, brilliant, incredibly talented, super smart football minds like Roy Keane were calling us the worst champions ever. The truth of the matter is Liverpool finished third, not fourth. We finished third. So that's an extra $58 million into the transfer fund, which, as we know, FSG will be keen to augment through every single source that they can besides their own money. It's business. I get it. But this is Liverpool. You know, it really does mean more, and not because you all have made that a marketing slogan. Anyways, this is not an anti-FSG podcast, even though they need to fix up. The Super League mess has them in hot water. But I think the benefit of that is now that's more obvious than ever, right? They need to actually make some investment in the squad, which I think we will. Also funded by outgoing sales, I think we have a shot at doing some good business in the summer. So we will be back with a wrap-up pod that talks about how the league went from a league-wide perspective. The first half will be the Champions League, talking about how that went, and the second half will be the league from both general notes and a Liverpool perspective. I want to thank everybody for taking the time to listen. This is something, like I said, that is really just a passion project for mine, but I want to grow it into something. And I really, really think that we're going to keep delivering great content as we move through the summer. And as Liverpool are linked with such and such, as you imagine, silly season is about to start. Every single transfer rumor that you could think of is about to land on our doorstep. I am hearing that we're going to sign the center back Konate from RB Salzburg, I believe it is. And or is it RB Leipzig? I think it's RB Leipzig. But either way, £40 million rated player. He comes with a great pedigree. So we need depth, we need depth, we need depth. But that'll be another pod. So because this was a little bit late, I will keep you guys even shorter than our normal 20 minutes. This is Chima from Chima Chat's Foot signing out. Enjoy life, people. Liverpool Football Club has finished third in the 2020-21 season of the Barclays Premier League. Is it still the Barclays Premier League? It used to be, right? Back in when Arsenal had the O2 jerseys. Anyways, that's some throwback stuff. JVC, true gooners know. Even though we're not gooners on this channel, that's back when Arsenal used to actually win things. Never mind. Way, way long ago. You guys take care. Big up all the Reds worldwide. We will be back. Trust me. Let's go, Liverpool. Come on.